Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
The call to worship is from Psalm 52, verses 8 and 9. It's read in the New International Version. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope. For your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. I invite you now to join in our family prayer. We will kneel as we pray, and I would invite any who have special requests or special thanksgiving to join us here in the front. Let us kneel. O God, our Father, Creator of the universe, one who sent his son to rescue this fallen planet. How grateful we are as we bow before you this morning to know that you love us and that you have made provision for us not only for today but for eternity. Father, we gathered on the day that you set aside as a day of worship, a day of remembrance, the day of looking forward. We have come to worship you. We turn our hearts and our minds and our eyes to you, seeking your guidance for our lives and your help for our needs. Hear our prayer, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers, spoken and unspoken, for knowing our needs and taking even the groanings of our spirit and translating them into a beautiful prayer presented at your throne. We thank you for giving so much for us. We in turn would offer ourselves to you. Father, our world has many needs. We have needs right here. Some of those needs only the second coming can provide the solution for. So, Lord, we pray that you will help us to be active and to commit ourselves to preparing not only our own lives, but spreading your gospel to others so that your coming may be hastened. We thank you and we look forward to this glad day and the rejoicing it will bring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time for the children's story.
This is what came in the mail to our house. This is called a seed catalog, Jung Quality Seeds, and it has pictures of flowers on the front, vegetables on the back, and the inside pages are filled with pictures of different wonderful things that God has made. And you can buy seeds, and they'll send them to you in the mail, and then you can plant them and grow the food or grow the beautiful flowers. And Aiden wanted to show you some seeds. This is your turn, Aiden. He's going to lift some out of the bag and hold them up and show you. Take out a package. Show the children the picture. Don't take, just hold, show them the picture. Yeah, those are lettuce seeds in there. And we eat lettuce all the time when we have our sandwiches and we have salads. Those are, oh, you got two packages there. Okay, I'll hold on to this one. Show them that one. Those are peas. And that's another package here. Show them this package. Okay, Mama will. These are acorn squash. Well, I brought... Okay, your part's done. Thank you for helping. You can sit down. I brought a bag of lima beans. Did you know that beans are seeds? These are lima beans that you could cook and you could put into a soup. You can cook these and put them into a soup and you can eat these. or you can plant these and grow plants. I made some overnight, soaked in some water, and I put them right here, and I softened them so that you can take one apart and see how God has made the inside of the seed. I brought some paper towels, too. So what I want to let you do is I'm going to get you each a paper towel, and then you can each take a seed, and then I'm going to help you take off the outside covering of the seed. That's called the seed coat, and it's starting to peel off already. So if you can just hold this, Cedric, while I get the paper towels. Because they're drippy. Here you are. And as soon as you have a paper towel, then you can have a seed. Can you tear that in half and share that, please, with Cedric? All right. Now, everyone can have a lima bean seed and very gently peel off the outer covering, and it's the seed coat. Just like you, I'll get you one. Just like you wear a coat outside, a seed has a coat on it. If you can see, it's already starting to peel. All right, and then if you get your coat off, you will notice that your seed, may I have this, please? May I have this? Thank you. You will notice that your seed comes apart in two halves, like this. Did it break?
Yeah.
These two halves of the seed are full of food for the tiny plant that comes in the seed. There's a tiny plant that comes in here, and I want to show yours to them. See this part that came out of Cedric's, or Jonathan, who did I have? Matthew's? Cedric's? Okay. Look at. What's going on with the mic? This part here has two leaves on the top, and there's the root. Do you see that? See the two tiny leaves and the root? Look here. See the leaves?
Mm-hmm.
You can eat it. I don't think it'll taste very good uncooked. But see the tiny leaves there? And this is a root. You see that? And so God put inside of this seed, he put a tiny plant and a root. I'm going to show you one more thing. Here we are. I'm going to show you a picture that I printed off the internet. And this is going to show, if you planted your seed in soil, this is going to show you that, see the big halves that I told you are the food for the seed? They're also called the cotyledon. Watch right here. Those pieces would grow up out of the ground. Here are the tiny leaves. This is the root, and then it grows little root hairs down into the soil. And this is a picture of what it would look like when it was larger. The roots get larger. Here's the seed food, the cotyledon. And here are those leaves, those tiny leaves I showed you. Here are those leaves as they get bigger. And then flowers begin to form. And do you know what flowers make on vegetable plants? What's inside flowers? Do you know? There's more seeds in there. Yeah. And that's the cycle of life. So I wanted you to know that God packaged life inside these tiny seeds in a perfect little way. And there's an experiment that you can do at home if you want to. I'll give you a dry lima bean seed to take home. What you can do is take a Ziploc bag like this, and you don't zip it because it needs to breathe. And you can put a paper towel inside, get your paper towel damp, and put your lima bean inside there, and then get some tape and hang it in a sunny spot. And do you see how my bag has little water beads in there? That makes it healthy. It makes it like a greenhouse inside there. It makes it nice and humid. And your little beans will sprout, and that tiny leaf will come right out of the plant. A green shoot will come right up out of the seed. And then you can plant that in soil if you'd like to. So you can sprout it in the window and then plant it in soil if you'd like to. And I just want you to remember that God made seeds, and God made a miracle of life inside every seed. And so when you look at these seeds right now, these ones have not been soaked overnight. You can have a couple of them. They're very hard, aren't they? God made them that way so that they would be protected And they're protected if you store them in an envelope. You can keep them for a long time. But once you put them in the soil and they get moistened, then the miracle begins. So God made a miracle of life inside seeds. And, well, those ones, did you see how soft those were? I only soaked those overnight. So it was, yeah. So if you wanted to put that in the baggie and sprout it in the window, you could do that so that you could see the life happening. Because if when we plant seeds underground in the soil, then you can't see when it pokes out. And so it's really neat to put it in the baggie in the window, and then you can see when it pokes out. But what I want you to listen for today in the sermon is going to be about gardens and things growing and how God has made the miracle of life and things growing. And so this will help you remember that. God made everything, not evolution. It didn't just happen. God made it. He created it, and he did it in such special ways. So I want you to remember there's a tiny little leaf in there, tiny little plant, and God made that happen. Okay, I have a paper for you, and then you can go back to your seats.
We're happy to have Gary Minnick with us this morning, and he'll be presenting our sermon. He's chosen for the scripture lesson, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
Loving Father in heaven, Lord, this morning we come before you to seek your wisdom, your guidance. Though I am human and instruments of you, Lord, I am not perfect and have a long ways to go. But even though I feel unworthy, that I pray, Lord, that as you have called for this message this morning, that the Holy Spirit may give me the words and the insight to bring this message before us. And Lord, I pray that everything that is said and done during this worship service may truly give you the honor and glory, Lord. For I ask in Christ's name, amen. All right. By Brenda's children's story and special music, you might think what this sermon is about if you hadn't had enough clues already. If you've opened your mailboxes up lately, how many of you got seed catalogs in the mail? All right. So Christmas is over, Valentine's Day is over, and now we're entering the spring season. If you go into some of the stores, they're already putting out all the seeds and everything. You know, as I look back in my early childhood, I can remember many lessons about the garden. And my father, even though we lived in the little city of Saginaw, I don't want to say little, but it was a little yard, and had a little garden beside the garage, and I don't know how big it was. It wasn't that big. But yet, my father would say, son, you can play ball in the yard. You can run, you can have races, you can build a fort in the tree, but don't go trampling around in my garden. Stay out of the garden. The garden wasn't much bigger than the garage, but oh, how Dad loved the garden. He would say to me, well, we might have to put a fence up to keep the rabbits out of the garden, and a scarecrow to keep the birds away. And though the vegetables were good and tasty, we probably really didn't need to grow them. You know, back there then, we had the A&P stores. We could have just went to the A&P store or another grocery store and bought the vegetables. But maybe my father had something in mind where it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 5, the last part, it says, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Eat their fruit. And my father, he loved to see things growing. And I guess that's passed on to me because I love to see things growing. Then when my parents finally, after so many years, moved out of the city into the country. And then that little small garden went from a small garden probably to a half acre in size. And then he says, son, there's room for you. You can have a garden here too. And so I took him up on that offer. My dad had sweet corn, you know, he had rows of green peppers, tomatoes, you know, carrots, sweet peas. I always got a kick out of my dad because he would put in, I don't know how many dozens of tomato plants, and he never liked tomatoes. But he wanted to see the tomatoes grow. And out in front of his house, he used to have a little fruit stand, you know, how they have out in the country, and so people come along and a little for sale sign there. So he'd sell those little, or those tomatoes and some of the vegetables that he grew. And then he had glads, and I still love to grow glads. I tried to grow some this last year, but every time they got so high, the rabbits came and chewed them back down. So I wasn't too successful at that. But the one thing about the garden that I didn't like, and any of you who do the gardening realize this, even though you plant the seeds in the garden and they're coming up, what else comes up? The weeds. The weeds. You're always fighting weeds. You know, I had a nice strawberry patch. They were ever-bearing strawberries. And I think there were four or five long rows of them. And, oh, they were good berries. And then I got so busy with the cares of the day or whatever that I forgot about weeding. And the next thing I knew, a few weeks went by, and all the weeds have taken over the strawberry patch. And then I go to pull out the weeds, and I can't pull the weeds out because the strawberry plants are going to come out with them. You know how strawberry plants grow? They spread out new wings, and then they root themselves on top of the soil. And as we think of gardens, it reminds us of our effort that it takes to have good results. First of all, to have a garden, you have to work the ground up because plants aren't going to grow on hard clay or hard ground or on top of the grass. They need to be the soil loosened up, worked up. Once this is done, then we're off to purchase our seeds. And then we dig our little hose to drop our seeds in to make sure that there's no weeds or stones or any objects in the way. And, of course, we use Miracle-Gro. Miracle-Growth. How many of you use that? My wife does. And it helps the plants. But you use that Miracle-Gro. Why? Because you want to give that plant a little extra push, give it the strength that it needs. You know, last spring I walked over to my son-in-law, or didn't walk over, went over to my son-in-law's house and I walked into the kitchen. And there on the kitchen table, that long table, is all these little containers. Little squash, green peppers, tomatoes. Tony had everything started from seeds sitting on the kitchen table. And where they can get all the sunlight that they can. And he took very good care of those little plants as they popped out, and I'd go over there occasionally. I could see the plants grow from here, then here, and then here, you know, and then they always grow towards the light. Well, then it came springtime, and it's time to put these, started getting them ready to get adjusted to the cooler weather outside. So what does Tony do? I go over there, and he's got a plastic greenhouse up. The greenhouse is sitting out in the cement in front of the house there, and then he's got all his plants in the greenhouse. And then what happens when it cools off at night? Tony's got a little heater. He puts that little heater in there. But Tony does everything that he can to make sure that these plants are going to grow, they're going to be healthy, and they're going to have enough light. You know, after planting our gardens, we go out there and we look and we see the little string beans or the sweet corn or whatever come up. And we watch every day and see how they're growing. We pull the weeds out as they come. There are some of the ways that we take care of our earthly gardens. You know, we always think of the Garden of Eden, but there's also the Garden of Gethsemane. In the first garden, Adam took a fall. In the second, Jesus sought God. In Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They went and they hid. In Gethsemane, Jesus emerged from the tomb and he went back to heaven. In Eden, Satan led Adam and Eve to a tree that led to their death. In Gethsemane, Jesus was led to a tree that cost him his death, but yet gives us eternal life. Satan was an unwelcome guest in the Garden of Eden. He really didn't belong there. He really wasn't wanted there. But in the deceiving form of an enticing serpent, there he was in God's garden, and he hurt God's children. And since the Garden of Eden, he's been doing the same thing, hurting God's children, coming into our lives in whatever avenue that he can use to draw us into temptation, into fall. And that's all that Satan has been doing ever since the Garden of Eden. You know, we give sacred oaths and make a solemn promise. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to study my Sabbath school lesson every day. I'm going to love my wife more. You know, whatever it is. And now we're into, you know, the middle of February. And look at the promises that you may or may not have made. I don't know. But are you still keeping those? You know? And when we make a pledge or an honor to do something, Satan heads turns when he hears a pledge because he's talking, he says, we'll see about that. He smirks. Is there a realm that is untouched by Satan? Is there a place unscarred by his temptations? The church, the home, the children, promises that we have made. You know that we are the prized flowers of God's garden. And is there anyone among us that hasn't felt the foot of the intruder? Because what Satan did in the Garden of Eden, he's still doing today. He's reclaiming his children, and he's not going to sit silently by. What had happened in Gethsemane? Many times Jesus, often throughout the Bible, you'll see that Jesus went into the garden to be alone and to pray, a quiet place. But this time when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, it was different. The Garden of Peace was now turned into a garden of sacrifice. And at John 18:3, reading from the New King James Version, then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Here was Satan. He had the muscles of the Romans, the Jews, the priests, you know, the Pharisees. He had a group of soldiers. I got hung up on that the other day, the group of soldiers, because I was looking that up. And, you know, it could have been 300 men, 200 men. It could have been a tenth of a legion, you know. But anyways, there was a great group of soldiers there, plus the mob, the priests and the Pharisees, all the mob that were there. So it was a large group. And, you know, sometimes I used to think, you know, I'd see pictures in a magazine or on TV, and I'd think, well, there was just a couple of soldiers there that came to get Jesus. But it was a lot more than that. here was a minimum, let's say, of 100 soldiers that were detached, given orders to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and to capture Jesus and to bring him back for trial. Such a large number to arrest one man. One man who was not even fleeing, unlike Adam who fled. And of course, there was Judas, one of the inner circle. And you see how Satan attacks not only the Romans and the Jews, but right within God's own disciples he attacks. Satan must have been rejoicing that he had Lucifer. I mean, Lucifer was happy that he had him under his, mind, whatever, that Judas was willing to follow through and to turn over Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus had no desire to run, no desire to escape. He didn't come to the Garden of Gethsemane to retreat. He came to do the Father's will. And what they found in that garden was not a coward. What they found was a conqueror. If you want to turn to John 18, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 8 to give you the outline here, reading from the New King James Version. John 18, 4 through 8. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking? Whom are you seeking?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Then when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these others go their way." Here they are. They come to the Garden of Gethsemane. They're only standing a few feet away from Christ. Is this you? Are you Christ? Seeing Jesus is more than the eyesight. Seeing Jesus is a matter of the heart. "Are you him?" they ask. He reveals himself, "I am he." And as he speaks, they fall down like dominoes. Here's 100 soldiers. Here's the Pharisees. Here's the priests. Here's all these people. And they all fall down when Jesus speaks. I had to look that one up, too. I spent some time in Desire of Ages yesterday. And there was an angel that was around Christ there in the garden. And when the mob was there and Christ was here, that angel was in between. It's in the Desire of Ages, chapter 76. And that angel, that light from the angel went onto the face of Christ. And it was like when Paul saw the vision, when the great lightning fell down. I think it was kind of like the same example. It's that bright light that was shining on the face of Christ that they couldn't stand it, and they all fell down. And anyways, he reveals himself, "I am he." And as they fall down, don't miss the symbolism here. When Jesus speaks, Satan falls. Even if he has enlisted one of the original disciples, the best of armies melt when Christ speaks. Jesus had asked them again, "Whom are you after?" And then when they replied, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth," he says to them, "So if you're looking for me, let the others go." How many of us would do that? Well, if you're going to take me and hang me, they're just as guilty as I am. Why don't you bring them too? But Jesus did. He says, if you're seeking me, and let the others go. He was concerned about them. And so the apostles were set free there. The real encounter here is not between Jesus and the soldiers, but the real encounter is between God and Satan. And the same encounter is going on today. You know, in Ephesians 6:12, it talks about our fight is not against people on earth, but against rulers and authorities and powers of the world. There's the dark and against the spiritual powers of evil. And the Son of God came to this earth for the purpose to destroy the work of the devil. Satan is powerless against the protection of Christ. And one of the wonderful promises of Christ in John 18:9, he says, I have not lost any one of you, you know, who you gave. You know, it reminds me of the parable of the lost sheep. You know, the 99th sheep were there, and here's the 100th over here on greener grass looking for something better. But Jesus left the 99 to go get the one and bring him back to the fold. And that's what Christ thinks of us, that he loves us so much that he left this glorious heaven to come down here on this sin-cursed earth to save us. You know, our lives are like a garden when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. He takes our hearts and recreates a new one. You know, in Psalms 51:10 it says, O Lord, create a new heart within me and a steadfast spirit. That's all that we have to do is ask him to create a new heart within us. And then after we get that new heart, and after we're studying and we're learning things, you know, it says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow. Do you realize everybody in the church is not on the same level? Is that we're always growing. You may have the person that walks through these doors has never opened their Bible up, and they come in and hear a word of God. You may have people who have been studying for 10, 20 years, and they have a lot of knowledge there. And somebody else may have been studying for their whole lifetime and have a lot of knowledge. But it isn't just the knowledge that they have. It's just that as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that when we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us into all truth and to help us, he helps us. One thing I used to be a meat eater before I became an Adventist. And it took a long time to switch over. And I used to go hunting. Rabbit hunting, pheasant hunting, deer hunting, you know, the whole thing. And I didn't know the difference between clean and unclean animals. But the thing is that as we learn these new truths, then we put them into practice. And everybody is still learning. Until we get to heaven, I haven't reached that level up here. And even when I get to heaven, God says, you have so much more to learn. You know, we're never gonna. So I never judge. I never look at another person. Well, you're down here and, you know, I'm up here. You know, you need to come on up. God will bring us up, you know, if we let him. What kind of fruits are we gonna plant in our garden? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, the word of God. And how we take care of our garden is going to depend on how our reliance upon God is. You know, once sin starts to take effect, it's like weeds. Sin keeps growing and growing and growing. And then in 1 John it says, 1:9, this minute will come to my mind. Somebody give me a start. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we have a part to do in this too. So we say, God, please take these away from them. And then another wonderful promise in the Bible. What does God do with these sins? In Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19, it tells you in there that he takes all these sins and he casts them into the depths of the sea. They're gone. They're gone. And to me, that is good news. Sometimes in my garden I use a product called preen. P-R-E-E-N. What is preen used for? You can put it on in the fall when your garden's all done, you work the soil all up, and you take the preen and you put it on there. It's to prevent weeds from growing. It's just like in the springtime. As soon as it gets nice, you get the crabgrass preventive, and you put that on so you don't get crabgrass in the summertime. Well, preen is like that. And like this, we have God's word and his power to help keep us from sin. We have that. It's free to everyone. All you have to do is take this book and open it up. And every so often what I do myself, like it says in Psalms 26:2, examine me, O Lord, and try my heart and my mind. Prove me. Every so often we got to take an inventory, you know, and examine ourselves. And in our Sabbath school lesson, talking about light, the Lord is the light. He's the light of my salvation. Plants need light. If I'm running too long, let me know. Plants need light, okay? Last summer I got, they grow on a vine. Marlene, where's my wife? They grow on a vine in the flowers. Clematis. When you get up here, sometimes you get nervous looking out, you people. Yeah. Clematis. Okay, so I got this nice arbor built in the backyard. I'm putting these clematis, one on either side. Oh, man, this is going to look terrific. Terrific. And so they come out and they start having flowers, you know, and a few flowers, and then they die. And then I'm waiting. I water out there every day. And they aren't doing anything. They're just barely hanging on. And then all of a sudden, they're starting to die. And I'm thinking, why? Because they don't get enough light, you know. And so then this year, I got new clematis, and I put them out in the front yard by the flagpole where the sun shines. And last summer, I had clematis, beautiful clematis, all summer long. Why? Because they had to be in the light. If we aren't in the light, we can die. We need to be in God's light. In John 19:41-42, it reads, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In that garden was a tomb in which no one had been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Here the body of Jesus was buried. In this garden, sinful man was buried because Christ took on all the sins of you and I. In John 14:19, a little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live." I have to give you an example. Some of you may have seen this. If you have, quiet. Here's a dollar bill. It's pretty crisp. What's it worth to you? Is it worth a dollar? If I take this and fold it in half, what's it worth? 50 cents? Still a dollar? If I take this and throw it in the all the way up like that, is that a quarter? It's still worth a dollar, huh? If I crumble this all up, what's it worth? What's it worth? Who wants this dollar? Is there anybody that wants to come up here and get this dollar? Come. Come up here and get this dollar. Okay, what's the point? That dollar was a brand new dollar bill. We are born as a baby. We are a brand new baby. We're born into this world. We are perfect in every way. We look, we feel, we touch. And then somewhere along the line, a little boy or little girl grows up from being a baby, and then they have to find out about sin. And before long, maybe they're a teenager, whatever, sin enters their life. And they may be considered sinful. And God looks down from heaven. He says, Adam, what happened to you? I created you perfect in every way in Eve. But now you have sinned. But you know what? Even though you have sinned, you have fallen into the mud. Satan has twisted you all up. You don't look like you used to look when you were brand new. But do you know what? I love you. I love you. And you know what I'm going to do because of my love? I'm going to come to this earth and I'm going to give my life for you because I love you. And so don't ever think that no matter how sinful we are, that God can't take us and make us new. And that's my prayer today. You know, one of the reasons I came into this church is because there was a man like this man here that's going to play a song on a simple guitar. And, you know, Phil Colburn, Pastor Colburn, well, his father, I used to go over to my wife's house on Friday evening. He'd bring his guitar over and he'd play simple songs on that guitar. And they touched my heart. And so until this day, when he plays the music, it reminds me of that I never want to forget, is because sometimes in the simple things of life, not always a Bible study, but it could be through music, in that Jesus can touch your heart and bring you into a closer relationship with God. So thank you, Matt, for doing this.
John the Revelator shares with us these words from the 21st chapter. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had vanished, and there was no more sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice proclaiming from the throne, Now, at last, God has his dwelling among men. He will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be an end to death, and to mourning, and to crying, and pain, for the old order has passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said to me, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Indeed, they are already fulfilled. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. A draught from the water springs of life will be my free gift to the thirsty. All this is the victor's heritage. I'll be their God, and they'll be sons and daughters to me.
And my purpose, not only for you, but don't you want to have a garden where there's no weeds? Don't you want to go home where you can have eternal life? You can pick the fruit off the vines there. You can drink of the river of life. That's my desire for us. Let's stand for the benediction. God, who is able to do immeasurably far beyond what we can ask or imagine, and who wants to do even more for us by his power in our lives. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.